China and Africa become ever faster friends? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China's Premier Li Keqiang is spending much of this week in Africa to make nice and to bolster economic ties. Some of this is happening with large-scale Chinese investment in infrastructure. For instance, the formal paperwork has just been signed for China to pay the lion's share of the nearly $4 billion needed to start a modern rail line from the Kenyan capital Nairobi to the port of Mombasa. In 2005, Chinese investment in Africa was less than $500 million. By 2012, it had quintupled. The BBC's Marie Keyworth has been following this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there are some grand aspirations here that go beyond this important new train line from Kenya down through Tanzania.
Yes, that's right. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang has been in Africa in the past week. And before he left, he did say that he had a grand dream of one day connecting all of the African capitals in the whole continent with high-speed rail. And it looks like all these deals that he's signing at the moment seem to be paving the way towards making that dream become true. Last week, he signed a deal with Nigeria, a $13.1 billion deal to agree to start the construction of high-speed railway in Nigeria. Now he's going to East Africa and doing a similar thing, trying to connect seven East African countries, all with new rail links.
Now, it's clear that China wants a closer relationship with African countries. The infrastructure relationship is going to be an enduring one.
Exactly. At the moment, infrastructure in Africa is pretty dire. At the moment, for instance, only 4% of cargo that lands in one of the main East African ports of Mombasa actually goes by rail. Most of it gets taken by road. The conditions of the roads are pretty terrible. There are loads of accidents. Among the few lines in East Africa that really works goes from Kenya to Uganda, and it's 100 years old, built by the British colonial government of the time. So these things really need updating, especially as China has such a big relationship with commodities, with natural resources, trying to transport them around the country and develop the economy. Good infrastructure is essential for this.
The BBC's Marie Keyworth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Chinese leader is set for stops this week in Kenya, Ethiopia, Angola, and Nigeria. Nissan of Japan today said its profit went up 4.8% in the winter quarter. The biggest help here wasn't the fine design of its cars and trucks. It was Nissan's friend, the falling yen. The Japanese government's aggressive economic stimulus has made that currency weaker. That means Nissan cars and trucks sold overseas tend to generate more profits when the dollars in euro and yuan are converted to yen. Now let's do some more numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. If you know any college students, you'll know they're close to or have just wrapped up final exams. For many, it's then time to freshen the wardrobe and go off to the summer internship. But recent lawsuits have shined an unflattering light on the ubiquitous unpaid internship. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
At General Assembly, an education/event space in New York, 20-somethings line up to sample gourmet oatmeal with truffle oil and bacon.
Would you like to try the truffle risotto or the devil's off horseback? They're both kind of awesome.
The Food Network is here, and New York Magazine's Grub Street. The event is sponsored by the Student Intern Network to connect college students and recent grads with people in the food media business. Zach Hune is founder.
Over 60% of employers say that graduates are not prepared for the workforce when they graduate. I think that students do themselves a huge disservice if they don't take advantage of their own internships and opportunities, because you just have to do it.
Skylar Bouchard, a junior at New York University, has done her part.
I worked at a small magazine called Bullet Magazine, then the Daily Meal food website, Hearst Magazines, Entertainment Tonight, and now I'm at CNN.
And this summer, she'll intern at the local news channel New York One. With the exception of CNN, all of her internships have been unpaid. Bouchard says what she learned about the business was worth it.
If I didn't learn any of that, I wouldn't even be able to get a paying job. So I think it all is a stepping stone to helping you get somewhere bigger.
The media business has long been a bastion of the unpaid internship. But thanks to a wave of lawsuits, maybe not for much longer. Publisher Condé Nast, home of Vogue and The New Yorker, just settled a case. Rather than pay its interns, the company shut the program. program down. Other companies have started paying or even given their interns raises.
I thought that it was always a little bit unfair that some of the higher profile internship opportunities were only available to folks whose parents could support them over the summer.
That's one reason Jeff Bartakovics has always paid his interns at least minimum wage. He's CEO of TastingTable.com, an email magazine about food and wine. But there's a more pragmatic reason.
We just thought that it made more sense to pay people something up front rather than deal with the possibility that we'd have legal issues later.
Still, the Student Intern Network's Zach Hewn says an unpaid opportunity is better than no opportunity. Students may just have to get creative.
I've seen students crowdfund their internships, collect donations from family and friends, work a part-time job.
Plenty of college students might be considering those options this summer. According to the National Association of Colleges and Employers, almost two-thirds of last year's graduating class did some kind of internship while in school. About half of them were unpaid. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
So I'm on this diet that's supposed to make me smarter. It's an information diet. I'm adding to the usual junk I watch. One quality movie a week that helps me better understand the world. This week it's a movie about fabulous Indian food and a system for delivering that food that has a 99.9% on-time record. Some of you know which movie I'm talking about. My blog is called Indie Economics at marketplace.org, and there is a new one on the homepage right now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.